Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Pete Dillon here with you with Cravings on Joy 94.9. 0427 Joy 949 is the text message number. 1300 Joy 949 if you want to call in and speak to anyone on the front desk. You perhaps might want to renew your membership or take one up. You can also email onair@joy.org.au or you can send me a tweet to cravings_JOY949. Today's show, well, look, we're celebrating a bit of royalty here, but we're also celebrating duos. And you'll meet two very exciting duos here on the program today, so much so that I've had to drop the foodie news only because, well, I'm a little bit humbled that I'm in the presence of royalty, two of Australia's finest chefs. Who will be very, very well known to you if you've ever watched television, listened to the radio, or indeed eaten anywhere. These are two names that you would have heard of. They will be with me in just a second. A little later in the program, we meet another couple, a life couple who happen to work together and live together and run a very successful business. I don't know how they do it. Don't think I could live and work with mine.
We're good, aren't we?
Oh, do, man, you have a problem with our dancing?
Absolutely not. No. It's very, very good.
I mean,
can I just say,
with his shirt off? Can I get a word?
Can I just say, Pete, I'm overjoyed to be on Joy today.
Are you?
Yeah, and the weather's not too bad.
Can you put your shirt back on?
I always say, never knock the weather. It just means you have to do different things.
But it's a beautiful Saturday afternoon, isn't
it? It's time for snuggle buggles.
Yeah, it's time for a snuggie, I think. And now those voices you hear are, of course, of the royalty I speak of. We've met both of them here.
Where are the royalty coming in, by the way?
Have you got royals coming?
No. There's only one queen in the studio, and that's all there's room for.
Wow. You should hear the stories of Guy.
It's never too late to try, my friend.
These two gentlemen sitting before me are, in fact, the very fabulous Guy Grossi and the very lovely Luke Mangan. Welcome back to Cravings, both of you.
It's lovely to be here.
And I love it. And it's amazing.
It's nice to have you both here together because each time I've met each of you here, you've spoken so fondly about the other, and all you've done since we've got here this afternoon is quite literally rip the piss out of one another.
Why do you separate us? We're so far apart. Can I get closer?
As long as you can move the microphone, you can get as close as you like.
I'll just move a bit closer. That's better. Hi, Guy.
Hi, Lukey.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
It's cold
here
in Melbourne. Because I'm from Sydney. No, we need you.
You're from Melbourne. You just happen to have a base in Sydney.
I live in Sydney, which I'm very, very lucky. But I do love Melbourne. Melbourne has wonderful restaurants and bars. And Grossi Florentino is one of my favourite restaurants.
Not to mention the Palace, the new pub that Luke's opened up.
Oh, my God.
No, but your restaurant has always been, since the Cafe Grossi days. Oh, sorry. But the Cafe Grossi days in South Yarra.
We had fun times, didn't we?
We had fun. Where we bonded.
But we first met back at the old Two Faces, remember?
In South Yarra.
Yeah, in South Yarra. Well,
now you're going back.
Days, weren't they?
Well, going back too far.
I was just a slip of a boy back then. Yeah. So let's talk about, first of all, you guys are doing something together that's probably not been done by Australian chefs before.
I think it's very unique, actually.
It is very unique. It's dinner and a live show. And
it's called
Politely in the Raw. Yeah. Now, I'm loving the images that I've got here. It looks like two men in black.
Well, I was mistaken for Daniel Craig in that shot. I don't know if you can see that.
Not coming out of the water, though. Thankfully, there's a suit.
Leonardo DiCaprio for me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more De Niro, Guy.
That's a
Reservoir compliment. Dogs, isn't it, that
it
shot?
Is, it is, it
I'm
is.
Holding the spear gun, you see, just after going fishing for our raw tuna. Yeah, when we lost the tuna, it swam away.
I can't wait to do this show because we've been talking and we've been doing lots of shows for corporate people for many years, haven't we, Guy?
We have.
And to do this live in front of 350-odd people on Friday the 9th of July and 10th of July at the
Plaza Ballroom at the Regent Theatre right here in Melbourne, which is a very special place.
Well,
in
it
Melbourne.
Is indeed. It's a gorgeous venue.
You had
venue.
Your 50th there, didn't you?
Yes,
40th, I believe 40th. It was.
Oh, sorry, 40th. I do apologise. Sorry. I'm sure it was your 50th. But anyway.
Am I looking that old? I was feeling rather glamorous when I walked in.
Well, it was 10 years ago, your 40th, so that makes sense. Yes, yeah.
No, there we go. So what inspired the two of you to put this together? Because it...
Well, because we've done so much travelling together, we tend to go away once each year at least, and we go to a different exotic location.
Oh, we were in Vegas 2 years ago.
I said exotic, not erotic.
Oh,
we were in Vegas.
Shall I tell them about Vegas?
I don't think so. It's a Saturday afternoon program. Oh. But the people, the things we pick up things during our trip.
Well, you certainly did in Vegas.
Yes, but
I was going to say, what happened is in Vegas should stay in Vegas.
I don't know. Certain things. Certain
Let's talk
things
about Venice, shall we?
For the rest of your life.
Should we talk about Venice?
Venice was good.
Yeah.
We picked up lots of good ideas in Venice.
How was Simone?
She's lovely. Still lovely. What we did was we came up with all these different culinary ideas, and mm-hmm. we thought what we should do is a show about our travels and our inspiration on our travels. And this is why we had the concept for the live dinner in the show. And it's called In the Raw because it's kind of like our unplugged version of what we do.
So is this comedy? Is this drama? Is this reality?
Well, if I could get a word in probably in the next half an hour, I could tell you about it.
I wouldn't say it's comedy so much as it's just what we do and we have fun with it.
Do you have a pause button or something?
We don't like...
I can turn his mic off if you really need to say something,
please
Luke.
Please don't. That would be terrible.
No, carry on. He seems to be doing a wonderful job.
It's more about showing our skills and showing what we can do, but not taking ourselves too seriously. That's what it's all about.
Why, are you saying the people on MasterChef take them... Are you saying George, Matt and Gary take themselves too seriously?
Is that what you're saying?
This is political.
Is that what you're saying?
If you're going down this angle, this could cause controversy.
Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what you said.
Because I didn't say that.
I think you did.
I didn't say that at all.
So you've got problems with George, Matt and Gary?
Not at all.
So
Not
this is
all.
It. This
we,
is an exclusive loved... on Joy.
There we
Guy
go.
Guy Grossi is slagging off MasterChef.
But both of you have appeared on MasterChef as guest chefs.
Well, actually, Luke appears on there more than I do.
Well, I wonder why, because you just slag the judges off all the time.
How many appearances have you had this
only
season?
One. No, only no, one. I was only on once and I was never invited back. Yes.
And well, Luke, how many for you this season?
Well, I must say I've done probably three or four with many more to come here.
Yeah.
And it's because I don't go off slagging the judges like Guy does. And I think this says it all really for his mentality.
Can we play the transcript of the radio interview, because I want to hear the point where I slag the judges off.
You heard it.
No, look, I'm staying neutral in this discussion for fear
Pete,
of... Switzerland.
The
Can
show.
Can we talk about the show with Luke Mangan and Luke Mangan?
Do you know what? You get a chance to win a trip on In the Raw.
To Italy, no doubt.
To Italy.
Ah, beautiful.
To Italy.
We're in Italy, or just wherever we like.
Well, it's in Tuscany. And you're hosted by Sam Pellegrino.
And Lavazza...
Lavazza are involved. Yes. So are Plum Glassware. They're providing all the glassware.
Sam Pellegrino, who obviously rates the world's best restaurants and recently rated our very own Attica at number 73.
They rate a lot of things. And they do what they call Tuscan Dreams. And they go over there. And they're hosting the lucky couple on one couple on each night, obviously. And you get
so
to...
two couples.
Two couples on separate nights. Two couples. So there'll be
so
a foursome.
Friday the 9th and Saturday the 10th, there's a couple each.
A couple on each
a trip
night.
To be one each night.
Have you got
yes.
a problem with a couple on each night? A couple is two on each night.
Let's ask Matt Preston what you think.
Yeah, we could.
Can you ring him?
Well, I will, actually. I'm a bit...
I was going to say, I can try and get him on the phone as well.
That
whether
might
he'll
be
answer,
a good idea.
Whether he'll answer or not. Now,
I'll give you Matt's number.
What I'm looking for is technique.
I think we just blew a speaker. I am with the lovely Luke Mangan and the gorgeous Guy Grossi.
Whoa,
see what I did there?
Couldn't I have been gorgeous?
I got gorgeous.
Well, his name starts with G. Your name starts with L.
I love it.
Lovely,
Pete, I
gorgeous.
Amazing, Pete, how you do that.
I know.
You've lost weight, Pete, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You look so fit.
It's amazing what a stomach bug can do for you over a couple of days.
Go there. It's been going around lately.
Did you eat it? No.
Did you say... Oh, no, you didn't say that. I thought you said something else then.
Now, each of you separately are stars in your own right. Obviously, both stars of In the Raw, which is, as we've mentioned, on at the Plaza Ballroom at the Regent Theatre.
And you can buy tickets
the 9th
at
of the 10th July. Event. We need to be careful because if we go through Community Broadcasting Association Australia guidelines, we've probably breached them about a dozen times. Oh. But tickets, of course, can be purchased at Eventix.
Just go to lukemangan.com or guygrossi.com.au.
You can go to either of those websites and purchase those tickets. See, I've got no problem with that. We can push your websites
Luke
as much.
Or
there you go. There are going to be a million hits on those sites today. today. Let's talk a little bit about empires, because you both seem to run these extraordinary empires, and I want to know where you find time.
Well, can I interrupt for a moment?
I'm going to start with
No, because Guy and I climbed the Empire State Building
in New York.
12 months ago on a trip, and we went to many restaurants in New York.
Did you eat at Prune?
Oh, I've been to Prune. I love Prune.
Oh, my God. I love her. Yeah, Gab Hamilton.
Gorgeous. She's gorgeous.
Prune's amazing. We went to Balthazar, Gramercy Tavern.
Oh, please. You're making me hungry. Oh,
okay. Making me hungry.
Per se.
You know it's lunchtime, don't you? Now, Luke, one of Australia's leading chefs, I'm just reading your little bio here. Oh. It's pretty extensive. With a number of award-winning restaurants in Australia and abroad, including The Palace here in Melbourne, Salt Grill on the Pacific Jewel, which is a P&O cruise.
And now Pacific Dawn.
The Glass Brasserie at the Hilton in Sydney. And Salt, and the adjoining World Wine Bar in Tokyo. You also have South in San Francisco. You're designing signature dishes for V Australia for their international business class guests, flying all over San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York routes.
Yeah.
In addition to that, there's four best-selling cookbooks, BLD, Breakfast, Lunch, Dinner, Luke Mangan Food, Luke Mangan Classics, and At Home and In the Mood.
All right, wrap the show up. Yeah. So thanks very much for coming.
We add to this Luke Mangan Providors, which is a selection of spices, oils, vinegars, condiments, wines, teas, coffees, desserts, which you can find at, well, let's just say the homo's favourite.
David Jones.
Favourite department store. David Jones, yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Does
was on a letter say that?
Furniture Now, and also T-shirts and a range of clothing and sunglasses have been added to that as well.
Well, you can't be sitting there ripping the piss, Guy Grossi, because your bio is twice as long.
Yeah.
But then you also might...
I'm not bio. I'll just try anything once.
You also might be 2 years older. You read as...
Actually, it's actually 5 years older.
Four years older.
Leading Australian chef, presenter, food media personality, the owner and head chef at Grossi Restaurants, including the esteemed international and Australian restaurants, Grossi Florentino, the very beautiful Mercure at Tolano, which I think is probably one of my favourites, Grossi Trattoria in Bangkok, and soon to be open at Rialto Towers Forecourt here in Melbourne, The Merchant.
Mm.
Tell us briefly about The Merchant.
Well, The Merchant's going to be a restaurant based on the cuisine of northeastern Italy, so the Veneto region of Italy and the wines.
There,
we did. We got some good ideas.
Where they get the beautiful radicchio.
Radicchio, asparagus, spices, risotto, polenta. Oh,
and wonderful
my mouth's
wines.
Watering. Wonderful wines from the region, yes.
Now, is there a TV show that you haven't appeared on? Because you've done...
Well, if there's one, let us know.
All of
we'll
the food shows, but including Neighbours. What on earth did you do on Neighbours?
I was a judge on Neighbours. No, I watched a food fight. They girls threw pies at each other.
It
was fantastic. I had to taste the actual pie off them so that I could judge it.
Right. There's another thing I need to ask you, because whilst you're sitting here, you're supposed to be the face of food and wine during the Shanghai World Expo 2010
in
China.
Yes, I went to China. I went to the Shanghai World Expo to promote Victorian and Australian produce, which is what Luke and I do all the time. That's what we do. We travel, we open restaurants overseas, and we promote the Melbourne, Victorian, Australian, New South Wales thing. Yeah.
Where on earth do either of you find the time to run these... Well, they are empires. It's
good people, and clever management.
Well, you have a fabulous bloke working with you, David Orbach.
He's fantastic. Yeah,
and you also have your son,
Carlo. Yeah, he's
who
lovely.
Works with you.
Yeah, a real ladies' man.
Yeah, he's a good-looking young fellow as well.
Good-looking young fellow.
Luke, who runs your empire while you're tripping off overseas with Guy Grossi, having holidays in New York and Las Vegas?
Well, unlike Guy, I try to sort of. Run everything myself, you know. Guy likes to palm everything off to everyone else. Mm. When it's a mistake, he blames others. And when it's glory, he takes all the glory.
That's what I meant by good management.
Yeah.
People who are willing to be your whipping boy.
I have some people, which is nice. I'm very lucky. We've had a lot of people work for us for a long time, and I'm very, very lucky with that.
The reason why we get along so well and we're able to travel together extensively is because usually Luke is on his BlackBerry most of the time. That's how
he's got a bit of competition, because your fingers have been working very fast on yours
that's
prior
not
to
on
us
the
coming
BlackBerry,
on air
yeah.
as well.
Yeah,
no, it was a BlackBerry I was watching.
Yes, yeah.
See, now they're both blushing and I can get a word in. The other thing I want to ask about, of course, is your commitment to social causes. And I've, again, another list. You're Guy Grossi, the patron of heat. You've just done a muscular dystrophy fundraiser with Jerry Lewis, no less.
That was very exciting to meet the man himself.
Is he as mad as
you
as
had
he
lunch
appears?
With Jerry? Didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I had lunch with him.
Yeah,
oh, the stories, the life stories that man tells you—it's amazing.
Because he's 86.
He's 84.
84,
and he gave you a few tips on our show for our show
tips
coming
for
up.
The show
because he's done a few live shows.
He loves to teach. He's done lots of live shows. Have been his passion. And we've actually—I dropped about the live show. He took one of the cars. Yeah.
He said he might
put it in his pocket, and I mentioned it to him. And you know what he said to me? He said, "We should talk Vegas."
In Vegas.
No, we're
very excited. I don't know that the world would recover.
We're taking this show around Australia all next year.
Well, that's what I was going to ask a bit later in the interview. But
after that,
there we go. And also, Luke, Guy, ovarian cancer, SIDS and Kids, the Starlight Foundation.
I think ovies are important.
Mm-hmm. So that's. Half a dozen charities are involved in as well.
It's true, yes. Because I believe you need to have a social conscience to be good at business. You need to be able to give back to the community.
Mm. And Luke, you're also with the Starlight Foundation, and you do a lot of work with anything that involves kids and cancer.
We look after everything with kids and cancer. I mean, there's so many charities out there, which is great, but sadly you can't say yes to all of them. And we've chosen this one, kids with cancer and kids in general. And it's a good cause. You know, Guy and I have both recognised that we've been very lucky and that we can give back by donating dinners and cooking for large functions and selling dinners at auctions. So it's important and we support them totally.
I actually did the Starlight dinner this week at the Grand Hyatt.
You did?
I did. And we worked there with some lovely chefs and I put up one of our tables at in the Raw as one of the auction prizes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we went up for live auction. It was very exciting.
I hope you made a squillion dollars.
We made good money out of it. I'm not going to say what people bought it for because it would be giving away too much. But
I'd be quite happy if you did.
It was $8,000.
Wow. Nice. But people out there can buy tickets on 1-300-737-3633.
You are so going to get my ass kicked, Luke Mangan.
I do apologize. Well, I don't know. You know, we're trying to promote something that's good.
You can, yeah. And Eventix, obviously.
Did we tell you 1-300-737-3633?
Kate Sobrano will be singing at both nights. See,
I've known Kate Sobrano for about 20
years.
She's
gorgeous.
Oh, probably longer, 25 years. She's a cracker.
She's a hot chocolate tart.
She's a very dear friend of mine.
Are we doing chocolate tart?
No, we've got Kate Sobrano instead.
So who needs a chocolate tart?
That's right.
I'm sure she'll be thrilled
to hear that. Oh, it's so good. She's gorgeous.
She's singing that song, Bedroom Eyes.
Is she?
Is that her?
Yes, that's her.
That's what I thought, yeah.
If she only sings Kiss with that, then you'll be awake all night.
Oh.
25 minutes past one
I'm
here
drooling.
On Cravings on Joy 94.9.
And it's not because it's lunchtime.
With the very fabulous Luke Mangan and
nice
the
voice.
Wonderful Guy Grossi, who are presenting a show next week at the
Plaza Ballroom
at the Regent Cottage.
And if you phone 1-300-737-363 or go to lukemangan.com or grossi.com.au, we look forward to seeing you there.
And sadly, this will be the last episode of Cravings that ever goes to air because of Luke Mangan.
It can't be because we love this show.
This is a highly rated radio show.
How many wines did you have for breakfast?
I think a few too many. I wasn't going to mention that, but a few too many.
I actually have to say that this is episode number 49 of Cravings, so next week we will celebrate episode number 50.
Can we be on? Oh, well, let's have a round of applause for that.
Everyone.
What a milestone.
All right.
And the following week will be...
Can we be on episode 69? I'd like to be on that episode.
Look, I'm writing that down as we
speak. And we should both be on episode 69.
Well, and we're also... the following week celebrates one calendar year that the program's been running. So,
wow.
And we've had... people who are dual Michelin star chefs.
Oh, really?
Yep. I met a guy called Elvin Lung.
Yes.
A guy called Paco Ronchero.
Oh, wow.
Down at Save Tasmania a few weeks ago where I did our very first live broadcast.
Oh, wow.
I've broadcast from San Francisco and Los Angeles.
Would you like to do a live broadcast from our restaurant in Sydney one day?
I can do that. I'd be happy to come to Sydney and do that.
Sydney Hilton is our
restaurant. Lovely. So let's go back to In the Raw because we don't have forever to talk about it.
Oh.
Give me an idea of the format of the show, Luke.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I didn't think I was going to get a word in. Look, the format of the show is basically what we wanted to do was take it from, you know, when people used to go to have dinner and then go to a live show.
And people dance? Yeah, dinner dance?
Yeah. So what we're doing is you come to dinner and a show and we demonstrate an entree, a main and a dessert with a few little additives. And then all the people, the 350 people in the ballroom, get that food as well. And it's a big show. There's lots of entertainment. Guy might sing, Hopefully he won't, but the rumour has it he will. We've definitely got Kate Sobrano singing. Amazing food and wine all supplied. A big night out.
So it's like a masterclass in some senses that you're demonstrating how we create the dish.
Think of masterclass meets cabaret. Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, we're talking Jerry Lewis. You know, this is the style
we're
going for.
This is the shit, isn't it?
Yeah. It is the shit. Yeah, it is.
Well,
I can't think of another adjective.
There's a couple of words we try not to use, okay. But only if we use
one
them in context.
The C word?
Of course. Yeah, we're not allowed to use that carrot word too frequently.
Thank fuck for that.
And I can't edit this out. Thank you, Luke.
Sorry.
We're live. Nice. Nice. Now, you started an apprenticeship as a very young kid at Two Faces. Is that where the two of you met?
Yes.
I think that question was directed to me. Was it directed to me?
Well, I did point to you.
So I thought it was directed to me. I mean, if Guy wants to take over the whole show, that's fine. And I think you might find this at 9th and 10th of July. But anyway, yes, we did meet at Two Faces in South Yarra, where I was an apprentice and Guy was an apprentice. And Guy...
So you were apprentices together?
Yeah. Yeah, well, Guy's a lot older than me, as you can tell. And he...
Still
a lot older.
Still.
But you did influence me into drinking alcohol for the first time at Two Faces, and I was 15, and you were 19, so you were a legal age. I wasn't, and I remember us drinking stubbies of VB.
Please
in
don't,
the cool room.
Please don't say classy. Where we hid them. We're not allowed.
You in
to
the herb bucket?
Ah, you've given it away. You know, if Herman hears this, he'll be on to us.
But
and
it's true.
Us
I was
tomorrow.
15.
He was sent
I felt
Bill.
Abused.
Abused as an apprentice.
Yes.
So, Guy, is that where you started as well, Guy, at Two Faces?
No, I'd already done many years of my apprenticeship before. As we've established, I'm quite a bit older than Luke and far more mature, as you could probably tell. But the listeners could probably re-in and make a judgment on that.
Oh, yes.
But,
are we going to talk to some listeners?
I was almost qualified when I started there.
There you go. His mic has been stolen.
And then I did meet Luke there, and I met Luke's brother, and his family got to know us. And when I opened my first restaurant...
Which was called?
Which was called Quadri. His family started coming there, and then Cafe Grossi.
And we're still paying
their
bills.
I got to know the family quite well. Unfortunately, Luke was the one I tended to hang around with more than the other more lovelier brothers. There's a lot of them.
Because there's four or five of you, Luke.
I have six brothers. I'm the youngest. So
right,
seven boys.
Right,
can you tell he's the youngest?
He's probably the most precocious,
well,
I should imagine.
You're certainly the oldest.
The most spoiled.
Luke,
if this is a question for me, could you just direct it towards me? Because someone else might answer it for me.
Haven't we done this gag already?
No, I just want to make it crystal clear.
Absolutely. Luke, where do you call home now? Because Melbourne is obviously where you were born and raised, but where do you call home?
They don't have a home.
See? This is what I mean. He answers all my questions.
I looked at you.
Thank you.
Gestured at you.
Is there someone else in the room apart from us, Pete? No, I've been living in Sydney for the last 15 years. I've been very lucky, but I'm a Melbourne boy from the eastern suburbs and obviously where I first met Guy. And but home is Sydney, but I do travel a lot because we've got the Palace Hotel here in Melbourne, City Road, 505 City Road, South Melbourne.
The Palace Hotel has... I just recently wrote a column about my 10 best Victorian tastes this year.
Oh, that was you.
The 10 things I loved most about eating in Victoria this year, and your steak tartare at the Palace made my top 10.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
It's pretty damn good.
Yeah. No, it's going very well, thankfully. But I do love it coming back to Melbourne because every time I do come back to Melbourne, Guy and I always hook up. We'll have a drink of wine in his cellar bar or eat upstairs in the restaurant.
Mural.
So we're very, very lucky. Or we go down to Mirka. I love Mirka.
I love Mirka.
And that's where Carlo's working.
And Am I allowed to talk now?
Yes, I'm directing to you.
He's getting cut now. This is it.
Guy, who's your culinary hero?
Luke Mangan.
Apart from Luke Mangan.
Was it? You know, do we have to replay this joke again? I mean, it's been done before.
Is there something? Because obviously...
There is. Look, one of my greatest culinary heroes is my father, Pietro Grossi, who I learnt the gift of taste and the gift of flavour. He always said you must feel the salt with your fingers before putting it into your food. But I definitely get inspiration from various people. Some of the people, the greats that have gone before us, like, you know, even going back to the old days of Carême and Bocuse and going through all the history... The modern-day champions like Ducasse, Gualtiero Marchesi, and, of course, good peers that are inspirational, like Luke Mangan, of course. You know, just fabulous to see the success of such great people. We did in Monte Carlo.
We
were in Saint-Tropez. We got the chopper across, and it was for Luke's 40th birthday. We went to Decass. I'm still paying the bill now.
I think it was my 30th.
No, 40th birthday. That was only a couple of weeks ago. So he's still a young man.
So many happy returns, Mr. Mangan, for your birthday.
Well, guys, a lot older.
Who's your culinary hero?
Oh, look, I've been very lucky. I think working with Herman Schneider here in Melbourne, Two Faces, was one. Michelle Roux, the Roux brothers.
He's the most charming, adorable
amazing
man.
Michelle.
When I was in France, he invited me to his home in Saint-Tropez, and we had a wonderful dinner. And this is 6 weeks ago.
It was the day after I left to go back to home in Melbourne.
Michelle is an amazing man. But I think every chef who can keep the doors open of a restaurant for a certain amount of time, I think that you've got to take your hat off to people who can do that.
Would you work with somebody absolutely like Marco Pierwatt?
Would I? Well, perhaps when I was younger, because it was very different days. You know, I was at the Waterside Inn in London when Marco opened his restaurants, and you know, it was quite hard times, wasn't it? It was different times.
Very different times.
And do either of you have an opinion on this? The deconstruction of food, the way it has been deconstructed so
much. If it's done by people who know what they're doing, if it's done by people who know what they're doing, the creators, the masters, the ones that actually put the hard work into it and the research, then it's fantastic.
Give me an example of one of those people.
Oh, well, the godfather is Ferran, of course. And
apart from Ferran.
Well, the people at Heston, Alinea, restaurants like that, which are fantastic.
Can I get a word in?
There's a host of others as well, but what I don't agree with is when things start to get copycatted and pop up on every menu. So every menu has to have a foam on it. Every menu has to have a spherification on it and all that sort of stuff. Then it starts to get a bit tedious. But I love the technology that's being used, and I love the forward thinking. I think it's fantastic, and we embrace it. I mean, if Luke and I find,
did he take a breath in?
If Luke and I can find something that that will help us in our cooking as far as technology goes, then we embrace it and we use it. Of course.
I recently ate a very well known chef from Sao Paulo in Brazil.
Yes. We had his food. He was
Melbourne
Food and Wine. Yes.
Made a risotto with no rice, and it ended up being a foam that he made from
was
rice from the starch.
Was it exceptional?
It was exceptional, but the thing that was missing for me as well, so the taste was there, the colour.
The texture.
There was no texture. And
sometimes
it's all
need
about
to bite on something.
Beautiful little crispy bits of rice just in the middle.
You know what I always say, Pete? Rice is something you eat when you feel like eating the same thing 2,000 times.
Mm. I love rice.
I love rice too.
Well, what's your guy talking
rice, about? Rice baby.
What is your favourite food, Luke Mangan?
Guy Grossi's.
Oh,
you're turning into
charming
a sycophant here this afternoon.
I love it when we. Sometimes I go around to Guy's house.
Can
over
you pass
here
the
Melbourne
bourbon over here now?
and he'd cook up a simple pasta with mushrooms and chili and onion, and we'd open a nice little bottle of Chianti, and you'd light the fire, and we'd sit in front of the fire, and we'd.
They're the days.
Yeah, and you turn Frank on and stuff. That's cooking. Mm. I think food for me is being with good people, friends. Hang on, can I finish? Because friends. Family, drinking nice wine and eating great food, and that's what it's all about.
What's that lazy food that you cook at home, Guy? You get home, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you know you need something to eat.
Pasta with aglio and olio. I just
how can you go to sleep on all of those carbohydrates?
Oh, just a little bit. Small, little quantity. Very small.
At 2 a.m. this morning, it wasn't small, mate.
No, it's true. But we were hungry.
So
we
pasta, aglio and olio.
Had a big night. Drinks.
Pasta with garlic and olive oil.
Garlic, olive oil, because chili? The staples of the cupboard, if you've got a little bit of chili, but the cupboard always has to have good pasta. I always have the Grossi pasta in there.
Order that pizza at 4 a.m. this morning.
Good pasta, great olive oil. I always carry a bottle of the Luke Mangan extra virgin and the Grossi extra virgin because I always get told off if Luke comes around, I've only got the Grossi extra virgin.
I get
the piss taken out of me, which I don't
you know.
If
you can't swear.
We already have. Never mind. Okay, you've already dropped the F-bomb. I will be off air. I won't make 50 programs.
Okay.
And Luke, what's your food weakness? What's the one thing that if they said to you, Luke Mangan, you cannot eat this ever again, that you would say, well, give me a freaking shovel, I'm
digging
a hole.
Sushi downtown at the fish market.
I think the question was directed at me, Guy.
Again.
I would say sushi downtown at the fish market. sushi definitely, because I have a restaurant
in
Japan.
We were in Tokyo.
Yeah, we were in Tokyo. We were at the fish market. But also, chocolate is a bit of a weakness.
Well, really?
But you do the best tiramisu. I don't know if you've been to Grosso di Florentino.
I have.
Chocolate nut. I just like little bits.
Ooh,
but tiramisu is my favourite dessert of all time.
But go to Grosso di Florentino down in the grill. You said the grill, don't you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's a staple. You put the peppermint crunch
just
in
it, like what you use to put pages together. Staple.
You put staples in the...
No, we put the...
Peppermint crunch.
It's got Sambuca and
it's amazing.
Galliano.
It's my favourite.
Yeah. It's a wonderful dessert, I have to admit. Now, I had a friend over for dinner and I made a very bitter chocolate tart with 85% cocoa and macadamia nuts. And,
I love that.
Do you find it too bitter sometimes?
Yeah, see, I don't have a sweet tooth at all. I have a very, very savoury palate.
Mm. So you'd like that. I like white chocolate.
It's not chocolate.
It's not chocolate.
Compound of sugar
and fat. We're
using
chocolate in the show, but we're not using it in dessert.
Ah, see, a good strong chocolate grated over venison or something like that.
We're using
it
in our beef on the main course.
Yum.
Chocolat. Yum.
Guy Grossi and Luke Mangan, thank you both for coming and joining me today on this very wet Saturday.
You run a great show. We love it here.
Oh, thank you.
Can't wait for episode number 69. We'll be back here with bells on.
Don't worry, it's in my diary. Guys, thank you so much, and I look forward to... perhaps joining you next weekend. Who knows?
You'll be there.
You're our guest.
There may be a ticket in the
Region
mail. Theater.
We're going to have the paparazzi there now because they'll all want a shot of you.
You are funny. Thanks, guys. People who sit in front of me, their names are Paul and Marco. I know you're Paul Jusen. Marco, what is your surname?
Pugnaloni.
Come a bit closer to your mic. So
Pugnaloni.
Pugnaloni. So clearly Italian.
Oh, Italian, yeah.
Excellent. Now, you guys work together. You're a chef, Paul, and you're a front of house man, Marco.
Absolutely.
You live together in the biblical sense.
And we work together, we live together.
And I believe last year we're wed.
Indeed. Yeah, we got married in London in January, just before we moved back to Australia. We've been living in London together for 18 years, was it?
18 years.
Yeah. Oh, God, it seems like 6 months. And then...
sorry, I just have to cut in here. Neither of you look old enough to have been together for 20 years. Did you meet when you were 12?
We were very young.
I was 18 years old and he was just about 23, so...
Now you're giving his age away.
Yeah, there you go. That was bad.
Never divulge the age of a gentleman. So, from the outpost, Sonali?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we came back to Australia last year with the idea of opening up our own business. We've been looking at doing something in the UK for quite a few years.
Who can afford the rent?
Do you know what I mean? Really, it's just impossible. And so with the economic climate over there, we decided it was a good time to come back to Australia. And we've both been working in the industry in London for many years. And the thing for me is that all kitchens in London are in basements. And so I'd been in this like... fluorescent lit white tiled room.
That's not good for any boy's skin.
Do you know what I mean? It really is. And so we thought, in London the gastropub rules supreme. Mm-hmm. It's the
place to eat.
It is indeed.
It's accessible.
Where in Melbourne, cafe culture reigns supreme.
Wherein lies the difference between those two, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think it's weather. I think in England, people want to spend their Sunday afternoon eating a big roast by an open fire, playing Monopoly, drinking port.
Which is exactly what I'd like to be doing on this very Saturday afternoon. You look outside, it's 10 to 2 in the afternoon, and it is revolting.
It's pretty hideous.
I would like to be at home in front of my fire, perhaps not with a game of Monopoly, perhaps with a 22-year-old Scandinavian, but drinking.
You're onto something there.
Okay, I think I have an idea.
But in Melbourne, I think people really want to get up early. People actually go out for breakfast here, and I love that.
Mm. Oh, I was overwhelmed by that. It's just amazing how important it is for Melburnian to have breakfast in the morning. I mean, we do serve lunch in Outpost, but we found that the majority of people, the busiest time is literally for breakfast. And I was actually gobsmacked because, all ages come through our post and there is a real interest on food. Mm. People really put an emphasis on going and looking for the right place to spend a couple of hours a day on weekends, you know. And I was just... overwhelmed by it.
I guess it's very different to the way you grew up in Italy, where it's more middle of the day and later at night that you eat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, our meals are very important for lunchtime and dinner time. Breakfast in Italy doesn't really exist. Apart, you have a little, croissant and a quick espresso.
Just to get the heart started.
Absolutely, you know, our meals are lunch and dinner. But in Outpost, it's just, especially on weekends, as I said, it's overwhelming. People just come for lovely scrambled eggs, for poached eggs. And as I said, we have an extensive lunch menu as well on weekends. We do slow roasting. We do a lovely suckling pig, or we do, you know.
So count me in for that right now, please.
I'll come tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Sunday. Do you do it on Sunday or is it just Saturday?
Yeah, we do it on Sunday.
Sundays. Yeah, definitely. Oh. We on the menu changes.
That'll
there.
Save me going to Geelong to the football.
Anything to stop going to Geelong.
Yeah, you? I know. Just before we do go on, speaking, I'd like to be speaking Italian, but I can't. I do have a giveaway. It is an in-season double pass to see I Am Love. It is the Joy movie of the week. Oscar winner Tilda Swinton, who stars in I Am Love, a visually stunning Italian romance set in Milan at the turn of the millennium. This is a beautiful film. The Times says I Am Love is an exquisite feast of sensual pleasures that almost certainly the most elegant piece of cinema you'll see this year. And the Sunday Times has called it a masterpiece. I Am Love is out now at Cinema Nova, Melbourne's home of quality art house cinema. Thanks to Rialto Entertainment, I have a double pass. You must be an existing member who hasn't won a prize in the last 2 weeks, or a new member willing to sign up with your credit card over the phone. That is I Am Love with the very odd-looking Tilda Swinton. She freaks me out a bit. I thought she should be an avatar. I'm here with Paul and Marco, both of whom live together, work together, are married, and they are from the Outpost in South Melbourne.
South Yarra. Yarra Street, number 9 Yarra Street.
Jeez, I'll get a smack for that, won't I?
Oops. Oh, well.
It is Saturday afternoon. It's probably the first time in the 49 episodes of this program that I've done that I haven't had a hangover, so yeah. You should feel very blessed. How hard is it when your personal lives and your professional lives are essentially melded into one? Is there sort of away time for both of you to refresh?
Well, I must admit, it's not something... We've got a very particular relationship. Marco... I worked for a long time in the travel industry. Mm-hmm. And so we spent, you know, 3 months or 4 months apart from each other every year for quite a long time, for maybe 8 years or so. Mm-hmm. And it was a conscious decision of ours in coming to Australia that we actually wanted to spend more time with each other. And boy, we got that. Like, oh, we really got
20
that.
Hours a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, 24 hours a day.
24 hours a day, yeah. So we really got that. But I mean, it's not something that I'd recommend for every couple by any means. So, like, we know each other
very
well.
But it works for
well.
Us very well, yeah. I think the fact that... we know each other so well and we've been together for so long, we actually compensate each other. If I need a little bit of help, he will help me. And if he needs me, I will help him. And that happens on the floor, happens in the kitchen.
What happens if he cracks the shits and shouts at you like chefs are wont to do?
Well, Outpost's a little bit individual because you can't do that. It takes the concept of chef's table dining to a different level.
Right.
The kitchen is not only an open kitchen, but the customers actually dine in the kitchen.
It's part of the cafe, yes.
So you have to be...
I love it already.
You have to have quite a temperament, or quite a lack of temperament. Mm. It's beautiful. It's beautifully designed. Like Hector Fellin and Guthrie, which is the company that...
designed every second restaurant in Melbourne.
Absolutely. They just won a national retail design award for Outpost. Mm-hmm. It's spectacular. It's like dining in your grandmother's 1940s kitchen. It's absolutely beautiful. So it's all shared tables, and customers come in and actually talk to the chefs. Like, we have the same customers coming in every day, and so we get the chance to be able to mix and match the menu to suit their needs.
Do you get people saying, I want that, but can I have the sauce from that? And
every second customer.
And does that drive you insane?
No, I love it. It's really good. We've got a fridge full of toys, and there's lots of beautiful flavors there to play with.
Bring your personal life to work, but there you go.
I actually get to feel very guilty when they start asking, but can I do this? And we're like, of course you can do it. You know, and it's like, what's wrong?
Look, it's very rare that you can do that. And I'm somebody who, apart from being incredibly sensitive to some types of food, I like to be able to piss chefs off by saying, I would like that, but I don't like that sauce because I can't have it. I would like that sauce.
Well, this is exactly your sort of joint. Absolutely. Because instead of having a waiter that you say, oh, can I have that, but without smoked salmon, can I get chorizo instead or whatever, and having the waiter saying, oh, let me go and ask the chef, you can actually speak directly to the chef. And
say, I want that.
Exactly, yeah. And we're pretty responsive. We also have the best coffee in Melbourne, being partnered with Salvatore Malatesta,
who is in himself an empire.
He is a guru by all means. When we came to Australia, we knew cafes were the thing to do, but we didn't really have that much coffee knowledge. So hence getting Sindali on board and getting involved with them.
Sindali are all new, the third wave of coffee.
Absolutely.
It's not an espresso. It's not a milky latte per se. It's more about siphons and the individual characteristics of coffee.
Yeah. Mm. We've got four different brewing techniques. We've got pour over bar, we've got siphon coffee, you've got cold drip filter, and also your classic Italian styles. Mm. But we specialize really in single estates.
Mm-hmm.
So African coffees will have really citrusy, acidic notes to them. Central American will be quite earthy, barky, and blah, blah, blah. And so by sort of mixing and matching different single estates, people sort of get what they want. And it really matches the food concept as well. Mm. So it's real mass customization.
So what I've asked this question to Guy and Luke, who were in just before you, who inspires you to create new ideas with food, or whose ideas are you inspired by?
I love Peter Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
I think Peter Gordon is really unique at taking beautiful concepts from lots of different nations and combining them in really funky ways.
Mm-hmm.
And his food's really sexy. It's interesting. He doesn't subscribe to the molecular gastronomic sort of style of Hester Blumenthal.
As much as I love Heston and I think the man's a genius, I find him an extraordinary scientist who can cook exceptionally well.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
Rather than being a chef who is adopting science like perhaps Rene Redzepi or one of these guys are.
You're right. But he does sort of spur people on to try and emulate him and do a pretty poor job of it in general. Where someone that just takes different concepts and blends flavours together from a palate perspective rather than from a molecular perspective.
So therefore that becomes art rather than science.
Correct.
Beautiful. Now I'm just going to pop a little song on in the background because I did have this ready to play for you boys. It's we're just going to listen to it behind us. It's called The Special Two by Missy Higgins. So that'll take us through the rest of this interview. What are your guilty pleasures? We all have them. You get home, it's late at night, you've been at work all day, you've been run off your feet, you want something that's simple. What is it that you immediately go for? Perhaps, Marco, you could tell me first.
I would go for pasta.
Again, late at night. I asked Guy this question. He went, pasta aglio e olio.
So, absolutely. That is a simple... The quickest way of making pasta is full of flavor. I love garlic. We use a lot of garlic at home, and it's one of the primate ingredient we have.
But
almost daily in the morning, like for example, we take a garlic clove and we just crush it on the bread, and we eat it with tomato and avocado. It's absolutely amazing.
I'm really getting hungry.
Yeah, pasta aglio olio. It's a very good one. Otherwise, just even butter and parmesan and a little bit of nutmeg.
Oh, nice. It works wonders. Nice. Paul, what's your weakness?
Well, it's funny. I was going to say carbs as well, because they're the worst thing you can
have.
You can,
exactly.
But when we're in London, we used to come home at 2 o'clock in the morning. Before, we used to work in clubs in London. And we'd come home at 2 o'clock in the morning and have risotto. And it's the last thing you should
pasta with broccoli and anchovies. I remember that one.
Nice. Guys, I do have to say goodbye. The Orange Ribbon program is following this. Thank you both for coming in. And
thank you very much.
I will come and see you at Outpost. Have we got a web address?
Yeah, it's www.outpostcafe.com.au.
So, folks, do pop in and see the very gorgeous Marco and the very gorgeous Paul. They will look after you exceptionally well, I'm sure. This has been Cravings on Joy 94.9. Stand by next week. We are celebrating 50 episodes of the program. And I'm pretty damn excited about that because I've aged about 10 years.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.